For Sunday, October 6, 2019, welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We're a member church of the ELCA, and today we have a special guest, Pastor Tom Schlotterbach, will be preaching with us today. He is the Vice President of Mission Advancement at St. John's United, and he's coming to preach the gospel with us and to talk about the mission of St. John's, the mission of our Redeemers, and the mission of the church as a whole. So let's listen now. He's going to read the gospel reading, Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10, and then he will present his sermon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave, who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have only done what we ought to have done.'" The Gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Good morning, and for those of you whom I've already met, thank you for the kind welcome and kind hospitality offered. I bring you greetings this morning from all of those at St. John's United in Billings, giving thanks for your faithful lives and ministries here at Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church. And for those of you who may not know, Our Redeemer being one of 25 ownership congregations partners with St. John's United, helping us to live the mission which guides our daily work of delivering an array of human services across the whole arc of life to provide living opportunities within nurturing environments of hope, dignity, and love. Thank you for your affection, your support, both of which make a difference in the world that God so loves. So, speaking of wanting to make a difference in the world that God so loves, this seems to be a desire within the exchange that surfaces within our gospel reading this morning. We pick up the story, as Pastor Arnie intimated, well into Luke, the 17th chapter now. Jesus, his 12 disciples, and others are traveling way up from the Northland in Galilee, and they're on the move, and they're heading southward to that city of Jerusalem. Now, we who have heard the story know what it is that awaits Jesus in Jerusalem when he arrives and stands before Governor Pilate. But before Jesus arrives, to the waving of palms, a Last Supper, his arrest by the Roman centurions, and before those disciples scurry off in fear for their lives, they are still this day on the road. They are together. People are following. People are seeking healing. Some have questions about God. Some are out to challenge and poke and probe at Jesus. He's been teaching them about many things, including the matters of human forgiveness, life priorities, the nature of God's love, welcome and humility. He teaches them about money. He teaches them about faith. Today's reading is actually part of a lengthier section about the very nature and the very gift of faith, which prompts the apostles here to plead of Jesus, "Increase our faith," to which Jesus, sarcastically replies, "You know, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to that mulberry tree over there, 'Be uprooted, be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." So what's going on here? What is faith? What is hope to be gained by an increase in faith? And why the sharp response of Jesus to the apostles' plea? Mulberry trees, as far as I know, do not routinely replant themselves, and nobody uproots a mulberry tree to plant it into the sea, right? Trees root in soil, not water. Jesus knows that, and is obviously speaking sarcastically, not literally. He's frustrated with his companions. Why? The why is because although Jesus' companions have good intent, they are confused yet about this nature of faith. The faith Jesus speaks of is, it's trust. Trust, literally in the Greek, that is what the word faith means, trust. The apostles, although having learned much from Jesus, have been comprehending instead that faith is something of an intellectual capacity. It's a cognition in their minds. A reality, they believe, can be quantified, measured, counted. You know how it is in school. The intellectual capacity of students is regularly measured. It is tested. It is even graded, low or high. You know how it is on your mobile phones and other electronic devices. You have that little battery image, don't you, right up there in the corner of the screen to view? The image shows you how much power or charge is yet remaining. High is good, low is not so good. The apostles think of faith in terms of measure, count, and they figure, in essence, if a little charge of faith is good, more must be better, right? Makes sense. So they want more. Lord, increase our faith. You tell me, more is always better, right? The point Jesus seeks to make with his friends is that it is not how much faith you have, as if that could even be quantifiable. The point Jesus seems to make with his friends is in the form of a question of who is your faith in? And for Jesus, the who is God. Faith is not an intellectual, quantifiable matter. Faith is a relational matter. Faith is a matter of the heart. It's of the soul, however you want to speak of it. It's a matter of first being loved. And you know what that's like, being loved and then simply trusting. That love is for real. The source of that love is real. The quality of that love is what matters, not the quantity. Ever heard of the expression, a little goes a long way? Have you? Okay. Well, I learned how true that expression is when, in 1987, at the very wise and old age of 26, fresh out of theological school, I had my very first lawn to be completely responsible to take care of. Yep. The parsonage lawn of Salem Lutheran Church, Fremont, Nebraska, 625 Union Street. I still remember it. The parsonage was located right next to the church building, right next to the church parking lot. They saw everything I did there. Well, my first fall, winter was coming. I looked at the parsonage lawn. It seemed puny, yellow, not robust. I was a kind soul. I wanted to feed it. So I went down to the hardware store. I bought a bag of fertilizer. I had never bought fertilizer before. So I thought I'd better read the instructions on the back, which I did. I set out to carefully measure and apply what was told to me to be just the right amount of fertilizer. I calculated roughly I had no more than probably, say, 2,000 square feet of lawn at most, and the bag told me it had enough fertilizer to feed 5,000 square feet of lawn, more than enough to get the job done. But then, as I was loading the fertilizer spreader I had borrowed from the neighbor, I had another thought, an unfortunate notion that crept into my observation and thinking. I thought about the fact that even in Nebraska, winter can last a long time. And as I observed that hungry parsonage lawn, that really hungry-looking parsonage lawn, lacking deep green color, lacking blade density, I thought to myself, self, if a little fertilizer is good, perhaps more would be better, right? And then a further, even more unfortunate notion crept into my thinking, that if a little fertilizer is good, more is better, right? And then it stands to reason that a lot of fertilizer would be best, right? Old and wise at 26, remember. So I set out with good intent to make certain that the Salem Lutheran Church parsonage lawn, the lawn that I was responsible for, would receive nothing less than the best. So back and forth, I went across that lawn with the spreader, making sure not to miss any spot. In the end, I emptied that entire bag of fertilizer onto what now I realize was a very small lawn. And it did not take me long to complete the task, nor did it take me long to realize what fertilizer does when it is over-applied. Yep. Lo, I tell you a mystery. On the third day, there was no resurrection. There was no rebirth. There was no green blade rising. There was only death. Death to that lawn. Brown as could be, burned that lawn to a crisp I had. Oh, and on the following Sunday morning, as I shook hands with the parishioners who parked their vehicles in that church parking lot right next to the parsonage lawn, the lawn that I was responsible for, one question after another. Pastor, what happened to the parsonage lawn? I return you to the expression, a little goes a long way. Yes, with fertilizer, I now realize this is most certainly true. And there on the road to Jerusalem, Luke tells us that Jesus was trying to make the same point clear to his followers. He was not trying to teach them about fertilizer, but he was trying to teach them about the nature and the practice of spiritual faith. His point being, a little does go a long way, not because of them, but because of the source of their faith. That source being God. God the giver, people, recipients. Recall back to days when some of you once learned from Martin Luther's Small Catechism that explanation to the third article of the Creed, where Luther tried to emphasize Jesus' very same teaching when he writes, I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened me with God's gifts, sanctified, kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it united with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Faith in God, relational, not intellectual, not quantifiable. God has come to you, to us all, with love. The love is trustworthy. A little trust, a little faith does go a long way. Even a mustard seed's worth, Jesus says. It has miraculous potential. Therefore, you can toss out, get rid of all those spiritual meters and measures. They're useless with regard to your faith. Faith is gift, pure gift, gift of God. Faith is God's initiative in Christ. And God delivers this gift in such small, simple, little means. We call them the means of grace. Blessings of the relationship revealed and strengthened through the most basic of earthly elements. Good grief, the waters of baptism, even a few drops, which is a good thing for us Lutherans, right? And the bread, the wine of Holy Communion, it just doesn't look like much of a meal. It seems so little. It seems like it may not be enough. But I remind you on this holy day, because of the one who delivers these gifts, your gift of faith is more than enough. Enough to carry you through today, but more so, plenty to carry you through all eternity. Water and word at the font, bread, wine, word at the table, they are yours and you are God's. You have plenty of faith to replant mulberry trees. There just is no need, though. God has more important things for you to do in the world, such as planting seeds of kindness, seeds of hope, seeds of dignity, seeds of love. Wherever you are, wherever you go, whomever God has called you to provide for, the gift of faith is yours. And you, dear people, are God's. Amen.